5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
for
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, or Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. And speaking of Iconic, if you're interested in checking that platform out before you buy, there's a link in the show notes for a free 10-day trial. It's like the Netflix of the alternative media. Obviously, they've got all of David Icke's work there, his movies, his documentaries, his series, but it's more than that. They're doing like all kinds of original content. And they've been nice enough to give me a home since our show started. So if you're interested in checking out what Iconic is doing, then check the link in the description and go get yourself 10 days. Try it out. What's the worst that can happen? Also, thanks so much to our sponsors that they've been sticking with us from the beginning, in spite of all the crazy shit that I say. So thank you to My Patriot Supply, man. They've been nice. They've been great, man. They set up a web page for us called preparewithmacroaggressions.com. You can go there and check out what they've got cooking. Storable food, 4-week supply, 3-month supply. They've got all sorts of water purification, air purification, all kinds of survival type things. Hopefully you don't need any of this stuff, but I'm going to tell you, this is one of those situations where you're better off being a month or two early than a day late. So if you are interested in getting yourself ready for what may be the zombie apocalypse in 2022, no promises, of course, but if you're interested, go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com and see if there's anything right for you. And if there's not, or if you're interested in getting ready through your own ways, please do get ready. We know it's coming. I mean, I wish that it wasn't, but I think that Well, I think take advantage. Take advantage of the downtime. Take advantage of the lull in the insanity. I mean, if you can call the first part of 2022 a lull in the insanity, but it, I mean, look, at least there are things on the shelf. There's gas at the gas stations, and that might not be the case later on. So we're taking all these things for granted. Perhaps we should not. I think we should plan ahead. I certainly have. I'm not taking any chances with these maniacs that are running the world and trying to shut everything down and trying to reimagine society and put everybody into some green new deal where we're eating bugs and living in micro apartments. No, thank you. You know, especially when you try to starve everybody out. I'm going to have food. I have food. I'm ready. I don't want to be ready. I mean, I don't want to have to go to these lengths, but if they push me to it, I'm going to be a cockroach and make it out of here, and not the ones that the World Economic Forum is trying to get you to eat either. So look, preparewithmacroaggressions.com is my avenue for that, but you can always go to the grocery store and slowly build up, a batch of storable food for yourself. And I think you should do that. You should do whatever makes the most sense to you. You're never going to get a hard sell from me on any of this stuff, because I don't like being sold to like that, but I do like being informed of things. And so I take it like this. I'm going to inform you of the way I see the insanity potentially rolling out. And part of that might include food scarcity. And if it does, that's a real bad component. That's something that in the Western world, we've never dealt with. We're probably not going to be very good. Our behavior will be poor if that happens. And hopefully it doesn't happen. Also, listen, if you're part of this component of getting ready is getting your body ready, getting yourself physically ready for whatever we're going to be facing. And we've got a new sponsor, Helin 951 has been, I'll tell you what, their product is fermented soy drink, which when you hear that, you go, I don't know. I don't know if that's something I'm going to be into. Well, let me explain why you might want to be into it. First of all, I bash the soy boys like crazy because it's fun and because they deserve it. But also, you know, I think that soy boy culture is ridiculous. So you might say, well, you're selling a fermented soy drink. Isn't that the same thing? No. And I asked the owners of the company that too. And I said, well, you know, explain this to me. They said, well, our soybeans are unlike anything that these other people are consuming. Ours are grown in Mongolia in a certain region. They're the highest quality, no GMO plants, no pesticides and things like that. None of that gets put into this. They could have added flavoring to make the drink taste better. They chose not to. They didn't want to compromise the integrity of the drink. I respect that. It's not going to be the best drink you've ever had. It's also not the worst. I like to mess around, have some fun, and say it tastes really bad. And I've tasted worse, okay? But I'll tell you what, the benefits far, far outweigh the taste. And you get into a little bit of legal sort of, you know, issue where you're not allowed to say a lot of things, but I will say this, that in the late 90s, a study identified five major anti-cancerous compounds that were found in soybeans, along with a great array of amino acids, vitamins, and minerals. And the soybeans contain powerful compounds that have been extensively studied for their beneficial effects on health, such as isoflavones, plant sterols, prebiotics, and more. All these things play a big part in healing. It's really good for your gut. The people that have been going through cancer treatments and things like that have migrated to this product. They've been making this product for 30 years. So if you're in the market for something like this, or if you're just curious as to what in the hell I am even talking about, do this. Go to their website, helin951.com/macro. It's pronounced Helin. It's spelled Halen, H-A-E-L-A-N 951.com/macro. Just read. This is one you definitely want to read about, because you're going to be like, I never knew anything about this, because neither did I until they approached me and sent me their products, and I've been taking them ever since. And look, I got no complaints. So if you're in the market, go to the website. I'm going to put the links in the show notes for everything. Halan951.com/macro. Read up about it. Okay. Well, if you've been paying attention, and I know that this audience is paying attention, we're watching things. We're you know, we've got our eyes open. Then I think that what you've been watching is, especially if you're in America, you know, as George Carlin says, when you're born in this world, you get a ticket to the circus. When you're born in America, you get a front row seat. So in America, we've been watching a systematic destruction of this country. It's undeniable. I wish it was open for interpretation or opinion, or someone could say, well, you might be right. I wish I were wrong about this, because I'm an American. I want America to do well. I have a vested interest in things working right. I have a vested interest in this. It's my country. I don't get all like hand over my heart and teary eyed and tying a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree or anything like that. But I want the people that live in America to prosper and to have great lives. The government of America, that's a different story. I want those people to be encircled and possibly, you know, starved out in Washington, D.C. I probably shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean. I don't have much respect for them. They don't have much respect for us. And so the feeling's mutual, I guess. But I'm witnessing what they're doing to this country. And it's obvious. We can deny it if we'd like, but we do so at our own peril, because the things that they're rolling out, the policies, the decisions that are being made, you can't objectively look at these decisions and these policies and the people that are implementing the policies and see it any other way than this is an intentional destruction. And of course, look, I wrote a book called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire with Jeff Berwick. We laid it out in pretty well there in terms of the different areas in which you can, in which you need to control in order to take this thing down. The people in positions of power are in control of these institutions. They're in control. They have the ability to take the system down whenever they want to, and they want to. And so I think it's important for us to, you know, to be honest about where we stand with this and what we're up against. And so I wanted to bring up some points that, you know, if the playbook for destroying America is laid out right in front of us. And let's start with the financial part of it, because it's that's a good way to soften up a country. If you want to destroy the country or a country, one of the smartest things you can do is screw with their currency first and destabilize them from the inside. You know, like just basic strategic thought when it comes to wars and invasions. The more you can do to soften up your enemy internally before you invade them or destroy them or whatever your mission is, the better off you'll be. You've got to weaken them in a variety of ways. If you can weaken them financially, that's great. Militarily, even better. Socially, that's a strange one, but it works to you know, to create a lack of harmony and unity inside the country, so that you've got some factions that are, you know, there's infighting within the country already. So that's a tactic that you would use if you were going to war against another nation. And I would suggest that we are at war, that World War III has started. We just expect it to be broadcast on the nightly news. We expect to have Bernard Shaw from CNN in his hotel room, you know, barricading the windows while putting a camera there to film the anti-aircraft fire and all that stuff. It's not like that. That's not how this World War III is going to be. It's a different war. It's totally different. And it started already. And America has been slated for destruction, because it's the last barrier to the New World Order, one world empire building. It's not the only obstacle in their way, but it's the last nation state in their way. We present a problem for the globalists. And we can see that because you can see, you know, what they're trying to do in Canada, what they're trying to do in Australia, New Zealand, and in Western Europe, and in America as well. You can see that there is an attack happening against against our sovereignty by a bunch of unelected psychopaths in Davos and running the United Nations. And, you know, and these people have, well, and also, let's be fair, international bankers are deeply involved in that. So let's talk about this. If you're gonna take down America, what would be the first step you would do? Well, if I were one of these guys, I would say, let's destroy the dollar. If you destroy the dollar, then a whole bunch of things happen. First of all, you get just social unrest. And it turns off the magic money printing machine that the United States has had at its disposal since 1971, when Nixon took us off the gold standard, and the U.S. dollar used to be backed by gold, and now it's backed by the military. I mean, I think a case can be made that it's backed by oil and the petrodollar arrangement and everything like that. Sure, to an extent, it is backed by oil, but it's also backed by our threats. It's backed by, if you start trying to get around our oil for food program, like Saddam Hussein did, we invade you. If you decide you want to convert and start using the African gold dinar, like Muammar Gaddafi in Libya did, you get a knife up your ass. You know what I mean? So, and your country is turned into rubble. This is what happens when you challenge the U.S. dollar hegemony, okay? But a decision has been made to get rid of the United States. And so you have to get rid of the dollar in order to do that. If you are successful in that endeavor, then things will be a whole lot easier in terms of taking the rest of the United States down. So let's look at what's been going on recently with the dollar. What we saw during the COVID situation was the money printing machine goes burr, right? They turn that thing on and just start printing almost unlimited amounts of money to give to all the poor people, right? No, I'm just kidding. They would never do that. They give it all to the banks. They give it all to Amazon. They give it to Blackstone, and they give it to BlackRock, and they give it to Vanguard, and they give it to State Street, and they give it to all these companies that don't need it. And they go, well, you guys figure it out. I mean, you guys are a huge part of the economy. We'll give you the money, and then, you know, you make it work. And they're like, okay, great. We'll buy every house that's available because, you know, you'll own nothing. Or we'll buy our stock back and make our prices go up a quarter. So they started printing money. And in the first 2 years of this COVID situation, so let's just say we're coming up on the 2 year anniversary. So March of 2020 to, let's say, March of 2022. So 2 year period. The total amount of dollars in circulation went from 4.0192 trillion dollars. I'll just give you the first couple numbers. 4.01 trillion dollars in circulation when this whole thing started. Guess how many dollars are in circulation right now? 20.08 trillion dollars. From, let's just make this real easy, from 4 trillion to 20 trillion. 2 years. If you were to gather all of the US dollars that are currently in existence all over the world, and you put them in a big stadium, let's just say, 80% of those dollars were created in the last 2 years. 80%. That is a recipe for hyperinflation. I just don't know how to say it any other way. The fact that hyperinflation hasn't happened yet is not because it's not because we're running a fiscal, you know, a sensible economic policy here. No, no. It's just because the financial fuckery and shenanigans that the bankers are doing have papered over it for now. But you can't hide that forever. It's coming back. And how does it manifest itself? Oh, I don't know. As inflation? And what are we facing in America these days? Inflation. Like, who would have guessed, right? Who in the hell would have ever suspected that if you create $8 out of $10 in the last 2 years, that you're going to, you know, get inflation? When you inflate the money supply, Econ 101 here, when you inflate or add to the money supply, make the money supply bigger and bigger and bigger. What that does is it devalues the worth of each one of those units of currency. So the dollars that you had in 2019 are worth less now than they were then. When you expand the money supply like we've done, where you go from $4 trillion in circulation to $20 trillion in circulation, you take the value of the dollar and it just falls off a cliff. So that means that when it used to take $4 to buy a gallon of milk, now it takes $7 to buy a gallon of milk. And if you think I'm making those numbers up, I'm not. At least where I am, those are the numbers. So you've got to ask yourself, if a dummy like me knows this, and I have a college degree in business, but I was not an econ major. I took econ, but I wasn't an econ major. If my dumbass knows this, you think the people running the Federal Reserve know this? Of course they do. And of course they do. Which is the reason why you're seeing crazy bidding wars for houses. You know why? Get that fiat currency into a tangible asset. Because if the value of everything is rising due to inflation, you want to be in a boat. If all the tides are going to rise, you want to be in a boat. You don't want to be sitting out there treading water in the ocean, holding on to all your dollars that are depreciating in front of your eyes. That's why super rich people buy artwork. You know, if you really want to hedge yourself and make sure that your money doesn't turn into nothing, you buy gold and silver. It's not sexy. You know, and there's a lot of people out there who say, oh, you'll go broke buying gold and silver. Really? No, actually, it will prevent you from going broke in situations like this. When times are good and you don't have hyperinflation, gold and silver, I get it. Some people say, I'll put those aside and I'll go to some growth stocks. I'll go to tech stocks. I'll buy crypto. I'll buy whatever. But in times of inflation, hyperinflation, that's coming. The collapse of your currency, you want to convert that fiat worthless dollar into anything other than that, you know? So that's why people are buying land. They ain't making any more of it, as they say, you know, productive farmland and things like that. These are good investments. I'm technically licensed to give real estate advice. I've been a licensed real estate broker for almost 25 years now. So I can talk to you about that all day long. But, you know, they're saying that in 2021, inflation was 7.5%. That number is a lie. I mean, that is so low. Inflation's 7.5% on a good year. I mean, in the last decade, if you want to get real about it, I'm not talking about the Fed's numbers or the numbers you see on CNBC or the numbers that the White House are putting out, any administration. I'm not just the Biden administration. So if you want to destroy a country, destroy their currency. And if you're being honest and you live in America, though it's not, to be fair, it's not limited to America. There's a bunch of insane banking happening all over the world. But in America, which has the world's reserve currency, the US dollar, the petrodollar arrangement, that the SWIFT banking system arrangement. We have all these financial tools that sort of make the dollar necessary. And for those that don't know, the petrodollar arrangement is this. We made a deal with Saudi Arabia. You guys have a bunch of oil, and we would like for you to price your oil in US dollars only, which means that you're going to price it in dollars, you're going to sell it in dollars. If someone comes to you with rubles for your oil, you say, I can't sell it to you for that. You've got to convert your rubles to dollars, and then you can give me those dollars and you can buy my oil. And in exchange, America said, if anyone comes, gives you guys a hard time because you're a bunch of authoritarian psychos in Saudi Arabia, we'll have your back. It's like a protection racket sort of thing. But it's mutually beneficial for both sides. You know, Saudi Arabia doesn't want to get, they're in a hot zone. They don't want to get attacked. And America wants to control, keep its dollar valuable. So because of that, it forces all of these countries and corporations and whatever to have dollars on hand in order to buy oil. And since we need oil, you need dollars. So that's the petrodollar arrangement. If you destroyed the value of the dollar so much, that relationship between Saudi Arabia would probably not look that good to them. And you start to see these other countries, Russia and others, saying, we got oil too, We got natural gas. You don't have to pay in dollars for us. We'll sell it to you in whatever. You want to sell it to you in gold? We'll take gold or rubles or Chinese yuan or whatever, right? So they're open to that, which is, of course, the reason why the United States hates Russia, demonizes them, because they're about to screw up our whole rigged financial game. So if you want to destroy a country, destroy their currency. Debase it. Find a way to do that. And that is currently happening. So another way to really just annihilate a country, it takes a little bit longer, but it's super effective, is what's going on right now currently at the United States southern border, which is you just open the doors and say, come on in. Anybody that wants to come on in, come on in. And of course, we know that the border crisis in Texas is not—it's not as organic as it's made to appear. There have always been people wanting to come to America from Mexico, from Central America, and they come up that way. That hasn't changed. There's always been people, but the caravans, the migrant caravans, and this sort of organized chaos—this is not accidental. It's media manipulation. It's Soros intervention. They're getting financed by external forces. They're being allowed to happen. This is allowed to happen. It's being allowed to happen. So northern border with Canada can't get through there unless everybody's vaxxed. Southern border, come on through. Oh, illegal immigrants, undocumented immigrant, however you want to define them. Have you had your shots? Like, no. Like, okay. We're not going to give you shots. We're going to give you a packet instead with some medicine. Guess what's in the packet? Ivermectin. You can't make this up. So, I'm against the vaccines and all of that. Okay. You know that. This is no surprise. But if you're Joe Biden and the Biden administration, and vaccines are the only way we're going to get out of this, and they're going to save everybody, and you got to have it to get between here and Canada, and you got, and everybody's got, and kids have to wear masks, and you got to be injected before you get on a plane or whatever. But then you leave the southern flank open, and then you tell those people, it's fine, whatever, come on through. It's obvious that you're not taking this thing seriously. Now, again, to be crystal clear, I don't think they should be vaccinated. I don't think that they are dirty rapists, and I don't think that they're unclean or any of that propaganda that we hear. And consequently, I don't think that the people in Canada that have had the injections are any healthier than the people coming across the southern border. I don't think the shots aren't going to save you. But it's the blatant inconsistency that makes people insane. They just point at this and they go, what are you doing? oh, it's about to say, oh, we got to stop everybody at the border. Okay, listen. They have allowed 2 million people in the last 2 years to come through the southern border. 2 million people. That's a lot in a country that's, what, 340 million? I mean, if you continue at that pace, the demographics are going to look a whole lot different. And the Biden administration just got busted flying them in the middle of the night to all sorts of different cities around the country, which is, I don't know. I was going to say it's criminal. I don't know if it's actually criminal. For as many laws as we have on the books, it's got to be against the law. But does that even matter anymore? It certainly doesn't matter in the Biden administration. Hell, they were trying to give each one $450,000 for coming across the border. Everyone was like, what are you talking about? it's just a really weird case study, because you look at the treatment of the people on the southern border, and it's inconsistent with the treatment of people. Hell, it's inconsistent with the treatment of people even inside the United States that are American citizens. Did you know that you can get on an airplane, you can get through airport security, and you can get yourself on an airplane as an illegal migrant, as long as you have your jail release documents, as long as you have your paperwork from jail? You know, they would catch people at the border, they'd process them through ICE or DHS or someplace. They'd get paperwork showing that they were illegal. They would be let out to just go wherever, and then they could get on an airplane. They can get on an airplane with just their legal paperwork that says, you know, you were arrested crossing the border, and you were caught, and this is your name, and this is what you're charged with, and that will get you on an airplane. I can't get on the airplane unless I show them an ID. I can't. If I don't show my ID to the TSA, I can't get on an airplane. They can. Maybe if I just showed the TSA guy my jail documents, they'd let me on the plane. Maybe not. So it's the inconsistency, I think, that makes people a bit insane. They are busing them to other cities. They're not just flying them to other cities. They're literally filling up buses on those border towns in Texas and driving them to different cities. And then just opening up the door and say, get out. Welcome to Boise, Idaho. Have a nice stay. And now they're removing the GPS monitoring devices. And instead they want to use, quote, community-based services. Community-based services? You're going to keep track of illegal immigrants with community-based services? What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I know we caught you, and I know we had an ankle monitoring device on you, and I know that we told you you had to come back for your court appearance, but, you know, we're just going to take all that stuff off. And what we're going to do is we're going to have community-based services. So, you know, like the community, they'll take care of you. That they'll take, I mean, when it's time for you to come back to court, you know, with your jail documents that got you on that airplane that flew you to wherever, when it comes time for court, we're not going to know where you are because we took the monitoring device off you. But luckily, we have community-based services, and then they'll do something or whatever. I mean, it's just the dumbest plan I've ever heard. And instead of the monitors, they're going to get a phone call once a month from ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. So doesn't that make you feel better? No monitoring device. all of these military-aged men that have come across the border from who knows where. And to be fair, look, if you want to come to America, you know, there's ways to do that. But if you just come across the border illegally, then, you know, you would expect there to be repercussions. But in the Biden administration, you get a phone call. That's all you get. They don't care. There's a company called Endeavors that has already scored a $530 million no-bid contract. Of course, no bid. You know how that goes with the Department of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services. And I'm sure it probably has nothing to do with the ex-Biden guy that worked on the Biden transition team that is working for the company. I'm sure it has nothing to do with him. I'm sure it was a totally above board, no bid contract to a company that has Biden connections. And I also am positive that there isn't any money finding its way back to Hunter Biden somehow. No. Why would they do that? That $530 million that was given to this company called Endeavors, just to put it in perspective of how unprepared this company was to handle it, that was 12 times their previous budget. Like, they're a small company. They weren't, like, ready to take on the task of housing all of these migrants that came across. They're the ones that were in charge of, like, putting them in hotels and trying to figure all this stuff out. So, they you know, their budget before was, like, $30 million. And now the Biden administration's like, $30 million, you think you can handle this? Great, we're going to give you $530 million. Go spend it as fast as you can. So, Department of Homeland Security said that 71,617 illegal migrants were flown to over 20 cities in 2021 alone. Those cities included Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York, among others. And here's a statistic that will make you infuriated, and I doubt will make you feel like you could sleep well at night. 40,000. That's a full baseball stadium. 40,000 unaccompanied minors were transported, but Department of Homeland Security won't say where. They just won't tell you. Because, you know, you don't need to know. It's tough. It's tough to want to support this country when they do things that are inconsistent with what this country is supposed to be all about. And again, I don't get all mushy about the stars and stripes and all that, but how about just logic? How about just running a country in a reasonable and rational way, where you don't open your southern flank? You know, the interesting part about Biden is so concerned about the Ukrainian border with Russia. Doesn't give a shit about our border. Not at all. Unless the truckers are blocking it in the north, in Detroit. Oh, if they're blocking that bridge, it's a big problem. But streams and thousands, millions of undocumented people coming in the southern border. Ah, fine. Who cares? What's the worst that could happen? It's just crazy. I think if you are trying to destroy the country, and I think we're probably in agreement that on some level there is a plan to destroy America. It's the only explanation for the incompetency. It simply cannot be anything else. It's almost impossible to be this stupid or evil. And yet here we are. So it has to be intentional. But if you were looking for another way to really break the country in half, one of the ways you could do it would be to identify a rather large segment of the population as domestic terrorists. And that's where we are right now. This is maybe the scariest component, because it's just getting started here in America. The Biden administration on February 7th, 2022, the Department of Homeland Security released a summary of terrorism threat to the U.S. homeland, talking about domestic terrorism and identifying some characteristics. Now, the interesting term there is U.S. homeland. And the reason why that is important is because of the Patriot Act. And the Patriot Act delineated that America was a battlefield. It was the creation of Department of Homeland Security. So when you're dealing with crimes on a battlefield, and you're dealing with soldiers and terrorists that are on the battlefield, then the laws go out the window. Now, in our minds, the battlefield is someplace in the Middle East. But because of the Patriot Act, that's now no longer the case. America is also now the battlefield. So what that means is, if you have the unfortunate experience of being labeled a domestic terrorist, they can Anwar al-Awlaki your ass wherever they want to, because you have no rights, because you're on the battlefield. And this is a war. And as long as the war is still going on, you know, the war on terror, otherwise known as the war of terror, as long as that is still in effect, and as long as we're still in a state of emergency, which legally we are, then anything that happens on this battlefield, the rules are just totally different. So when they start talking about domestic terrorists, that's such a broad term. We've done a whole episode on this. For those that want to get a little bit deeper into it, you can go back through the episodes. Everyone's a domestic terrorist now. So that's an episode where we really drill down deep into it. But what you just need to know, just for the purposes of this show, is that it's a slippery slope when you label someone that. It's not just an insult. It's not just some asshole on Twitter calling you a domestic terrorist or anything. It's a legal it's a legal term now. And so you have to be very careful. If you label someone as a domestic terrorist and SWAT them, you know, like send the police over, like as a joke or whatever, things can get really bad. That person can be detained without a lawyer, taken black bagged and taken someplace. They could be taken to Guantanamo Bay. I mean, no shit. They are a terrorist legally. And so anything goes. So one of the, they were talking about identifying some characteristics of what a domestic terrorist is. They said the proliferation, this is a definition of a domestic terrorist. Just think about this in terms of your own life and what you say on social media, if you are on social media, but just imagine it like this: the proliferation of false or misleading narratives which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. Okay, how do you quantify that? If I put a post on Twitter that says the Federal Reserve is a criminal banking cartel and that Joe Biden is an incompetent moron, So is that a false or misleading narrative? Not according to me, it's not. Both of these are true statements. Now, they might disagree, and now we've got a disagreement about terms. So I say, well, the Federal Reserve is a criminal cartel, banking cartel. It's provable. And they say, Federal Reserve is not. They're in charge of our money. And Joe Biden was elected with 81 million votes. He's the most popular president in history. How dare you say that about the president? And you just go, I think he's a fucking moron. You have now proliferated misleading narratives or false narratives according to them. You have sowed discord or undermined public trust in U.S. government institutions. I have a question. What if there was no public trust to begin with? How can I undermine public trust in Joe Biden when there isn't public trust in Joe Biden? So this is a dangerous tactic. And it's strategically, it's idiotic for the Biden administration to do that. Now, keep in mind, this is the same administration that promised unvaccinated people a dark winter of pain and death. Like didn't just say it could happen. He wished it on us. He wanted it to happen. He wanted to show us what will happen to you if you don't listen to us. We told you to get the shot and you didn't get the shot and now you're going to die. That guy hates your guts. Always has. He hates the American people. Joe Biden hates the American people. And I got 40 years of evidence to prove it. Private prison industry, omnibus crime bill, credit card companies proliferating, rampant. See, he made it so that you couldn't sue the student loan. He hates people. Actively hates people. But if you undermine the public trust in him, you're a domestic terrorist. So if you're trying to destroy the country, that's a great way to do it. Because now you've got, I don't know, let's just say 100 million people that you've just called terrorists. And they're not doing anything terroristic. It's just that you don't like them. It used to be you'd just call somebody an asshole, or you'd go out in the parking lot and fight them. Now they call you a domestic terrorist, and that's the last they see of you. Like, Stalin would be impressed with this. I like what you've done, Joe. Just a couple of Joes hanging out, talking about how they want to rid their countries of subversives by, you know, dehumanizing them and then possibly murdering them at some point. I mean, Stalin did that. What's to stop Biden from doing that? He's already depersoned people. He's called you a terrorist. And when you're a terrorist, guess what happens? You're unemployable, can't get a bank account, probably can't get a cell phone. I mean, everything about your life is going to be 1,000 times more difficult. Just because Joe Biden doesn't like that you accurately called him out on Twitter for having scrambled eggs for brains. Everyone you don't like, or anybody who can see through the lies, is now a domestic terrorist. How convenient. Your ability to get on an airplane. Sorry. You don't think we're going to let terrorists on airplanes? You saw what happened the last time we let 19 Arab hijackers on airplanes. Their passports flew across New York City and landed at the feet of federal agents. Don't you know? We're never going to make that mistake twice. We're not going to let you domestic terrorists on airplanes. You're not going to be able to go, oh, you work for Antifa? Oh, come right in. We'll put you in first class. BLM, you've been burning down. You look exhausted from throwing those Molotov cocktails and smashing down those windows. Are you going to arrest me for being a terrorist? Fuck no. We're going to put you on a $20 bill. I mean, it is clown world central here, to the point where you keep waiting for, like, you keep waiting for the punchline. Like, you know, you wait for someone to go, oh, we're just kidding. I mean, you didn't really think we were going to call all you peaceful people domestic terrorists and then pretend like the people that are burning down buildings are doing it because of social justice? Do you remember when the CDC came out and said that you had to socially distance unless you were at the BLM protest? And then that was actually more important. I mean, did you remember that? Like, how do you get any credibility back when you've said things like that? With a straight face, you've told people that they have to stay in their house. They absolutely, positively have to stay in their house. This is the most deadly pandemic we've ever seen. And you have to stay at least 6 feet away from people unless you're at a BLM protest where you're burning down buildings. Then it's fine. This is how you do it. Antifa guys over there throwing Molotov cocktails that can't even hit the building. They're so weak. So, another way, okay, how else? Socially destabilizing a country? Great tactic. Great tactic before you topple it. How do I know that? That's what the CIA does in foreign countries. I mean, they used to just do it in foreign countries, now they do it with us. So, you bring in Soros. You bring in Soros to finance a new color revolution. It's not the orange revolution or the rose revolution, like he's been doing in Kyrgyzstan and elsewhere in Europe. No. It's the black revolution. Black Lives Matter, financed by Soros. You want to destroy a country, soften it up socially too. Talked about the financing, talked about everybody's being a terrorist and things like that. Talked about open borders. But once you go to work on these people, you bring in Soros-connected woke district attorneys and start removing crimes from the books. And look, I'm all in favor of there being fewer laws out there. But the laws that they're changing, or the enforcement arms that, you know, the enforcement policies that they have, inconsistent with sanity. Like, you know, I'm not talking about letting convicted murderers out of prison. They do. There are plenty of examples of this happening where they just say, well, we're going to let 40% of the prison population out. I'm going, okay, I'm hearing you. This sounds like an idea. Tell me more. So you take the the people on drug offenses and things like that, and we're going to let them out? No. No, we're just going to take 40% of everybody. Rapists, murderers. There's a guy that in California that was a convicted murderer. They just let him go. I mean, good luck to you. Could you imagine being that guy? You're in prison. You know, you're doing life without parole. You're in San Quentin. All of a sudden, guy shows up at your cell, opens the cell, grab your shit. You're going home. You're like, am I on acid? Seriously, I'm going, hey. We've got a whole new way. Wait till you get outside. You aren't going to believe America. We've got our DAs are so woke that they're taking convicted murderers and they're saying, come on out. I'm not being hyperbolic. I did the episode on woke DA weirdos. You can go back and listen to that. I broke it down. I mean, I gave names and everything. So that's one way to do it. Just start messing with society. No bail, no felony charges for things, just a revolving door of criminality. God forbid you try to go across the Canadian border, there'll be dogs there, be 18 cops ready to handcuff you and break your nose, let that dog tear you apart. But if you've committed a murder, they just open up the door and walk you right out. Or if you're arrested at a mostly peaceful protest, they take you into the police office. They go, well, we're not going to charge you with anything. And, you know, we'll just, you know, you're free to go. So another tactic for socially softening up the public. How about How about what we're doing with kids? You want to destroy a culture? All you have to do is get to a generation of kids. Might not be the fastest way to take it down, but you'll have it. You'll be set up in a generation. Puberty blocker, hormone blockers for kids, 5-year-olds transitioning, 4-year-olds getting tranny story time, 6'6" transvestites with short skirts and no underwear reading books to kids and then rolling over and doing somersaults. I've seen the videos. Nobody's standing up and going, what is happening here? I thought we used to have guts. I thought there used to be like a line in the sand where parents would stand up and go, I'm not putting my kid in this situation. How dare you? But when the dad's got 2 jobs and the mom's got 3 jobs and they're just trying to make it work, then the state raises the kids. Then the government schools raise the kids. And if a lot of people have that situation, they just simply financially don't have the capacity to do it any other way. And they're in a jam. And they trust that the school, they hope at least, I don't know that they necessarily trust that the school will do a good job, but they hope that the school will. And they're disappointed. They're always disappointed. Why wouldn't you be? If it's not Common Core where 2 + 2 equals whatever, then it's everybody's a different gender after lunch than they were at recess. You know what I mean? The schooling component is really devious. What they've done with Common Core, a Bill Gates financed project. Again, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the education system is a easy pathway to get in and capture the minds of children, because they've got those kids for as long as the parents have those kids, maybe even longer if you think about it, during the course of a day. And we've seen plenty of videos of Marxist whatevers teaching kids and talking about. My favorite part is that I want to talk about my gender with my class. And it was like, your class is a bunch of first graders. They don't need to know that you're non-binary. They don't know what that means. Hell, I'm almost 50 and I don't know what the fuck that means. So this is a destabilizing tactic. They've turned colleges into Marxist indoctrination camps where a teacher will get suspended or fired if the textbook has a word in it that makes the soft woke students feel all icky inside. And then they have to have a safe space because they had a bad thought and they need to be, you know, they need to, and they're on Ritalin and, you know, all this stuff. But if there's one encapsulation of the Biden administration, you know, and I don't expect these administrations to be perfect. None of them are. I think they're all broken. It's just a matter of degree. But if you wanted to really summarize where the Biden administration has put their priorities, it's, and I'm telling you, the first time I read this article, I thought it was like the Babylon Bee, because there's no way this could be real in an actual society. But the Biden administration has authorized giving out $30 million worth of free crack pipes as part of a safe smoking program. Safe smoking program? I understand the needle program, because dirty needles, bunch of guys shooting up, sharing the same needle. It's going in your veins. You've got disease spreading capabilities. I get that. There's a debate to be had about the clean needle programs. For sure, we can have that debate. But it at least is anchored in science and makes a little bit of sense. Are
we spreading diseases by putting our mouths on crack pipes? Is that a thing? Because, you know, I don't remember reading any stories of people getting hepatitis or HIV from sharing crack pipes with each other. It's the same pipes that you smoke pot from, you know? There's variations, of course, but for the most part, you can smoke pot out of these pipes too. Is there a rash of stoners just up and dying? Why don't we give all the crackheads apples or beer cans? Because I went to college. I've smoked pot out of a beer can before, out of an empty beer can that's crumpled up, holes poked in it. I've seen people smoke pot out of an apple before. Stoners are the most ingenious people on the planet. And crackheads are, not only are they ingenious, but they're very driven. Okay. If there's one thing you can say all kinds of bad shit about crackheads, but they're very driven. They get up in the morning with purpose. They are going to get high. They are going to figure out a way to make that happen. Crack pipes has never been a problem. I find it just alarming. I mean, I find it ironic that his son was a crackhead. And I'm not trying to shit on, Hunter Biden is a garbage human being for a variety of reasons. The drug addiction component, I'm willing to give him a little bit of leeway because I understand that that is a slippery slope with drugs and drug addiction. I think he's a shitty guy. Independent of that, I have a little bit of sympathy for the drug addiction component to it. But like I said, a little bit, not a lot for him. I have a lot of sympathy for normal people that fall into that trap and have a hard time getting out. But the irony that the president of the United States, who was so anti-drug, who wanted to bulldoze raves, who wanted to lock people up on disproportionately long prison sentences, ironically, for rock cocaine as opposed to powder cocaine, through the Omnibus Crime Bill that he co-authored and worked on with Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush, that he, with a crackhead son, is going to launch a program giving away $30 million worth of free crack pipes while Flint, Michigan still doesn't have clean drinking water? Priorities. And that's why I say it has to be an intentional destruction of this country, because there's no other explanation for it. It defies any sort of logic and reason that you would say, you know what I'm looking to do? I'm really, for the midterms, we're really going after the crackhead voters. Although, you know, now that I sort of verbalize that, you might have to be smoking crack to vote for Joe Biden. It might not be the worst strategy in the world. I don't think he's going to win with that, but you're like, who? You can see him sitting around in this meeting. Who doesn't think I suck? People that are smoking crack because they're thinking about all kinds of other shit. Great. I love that. Let's get money for the crack pipe program and then just make sure, just put like a, can we put like Biden? Can we silkscreen like Biden logo on there? Oh my God. You know, if you want to destroy the country, you would do things like that. You would turn your administration into the laughingstock. Jen Psaki out there just blatantly lying to people. You know, you destroy the supply chain. You could do that. What do we have? What do we see going on? We've done episodes on the supply chain as well. Woke California going to green emissions and saying that only trucks, you know, made after 2010 can be regular gas powered trucks. Everything else has to be electric, except electric trucks don't exist. And then we're like, well, where are all the trucks that are going to handle this supply chain issue? They're not allowed to operate in California, dipshits. That's why, because of the dumb laws that Gavin Newsom passed. And then Biden says, well, we're going to keep the ports open 24/7. Who cares? There's no trucks. because of your dumb policies. Like, if you were trying to destroy the supply chain, you couldn't have done it a better way. You've got endless amounts of campaign finance money flowing in through Citizens United. Now, I know it's not a Biden deal. That's an Obama deal. I mean, Biden, Obama, what's the difference? But when you allow corporations to donate unlimited amounts of money to political campaigns, then you can't act surprised when the corporations run the country, because they can buy politicians, because they can give as much money as they want. Like, I wonder why the country's so broken. Really? You wonder? That's a good place to start. You could start by fixing that. You could start by getting rid of insider trading in Congress. You could start by making it so that that's not legal anymore. It's legal for them to do that. They made it legal in 2013. And now they're all going, oh, we should make it so you can't do it. Bro, you made it legal. You made it legal because you wanted to continue doing it. It's not like they weren't doing it before, of course. So, destroy all trust in government, like government officials. Destroy all their credibility. Have the media constantly lie to the public. And see what that does over an extended period of time. Well, really, just look at what the Soviet Union used to be with Pravda. That came out of the Lenin organization. Stuck around for a while, got to the point where it was just known to the Russian people that Pravda was a propaganda magazine, newspaper. You know, they didn't actually think that news was real. They just went, oh, okay, yeah. The problem, the difference between them and America is that Americans are like, oh, the news is totally real. It's like, no. The news is Pravda. You just haven't figured it out yet. It's been like that for a long time. That'll soften up a country. Send mixed messages. Get one side really angry. Get the other side angry. You know, the media does that. They pour gasoline all over this. Start a drug war. You know, the drug war has done more to destabilize this country than just about any other war. The war on terror is pretty bad. I don't know. Maybe it's a tie or one and two. I don't know. But the drug war gutted this country, just like NAFTA did. When Clinton's, Biden's, all worked on this bill to make sure that we could outsource all these companies from America, relocate them to China or Mexico or wherever it was going to be. And then Ross Perot came out and said the giant sucking sound was the sound of jobs and factories being sucked out of America and deposited elsewhere. And they called him crazy for that. Yeah, well, he was right. And finally, and lastly, if you want to destroy a nation, destroy what's left of the integrity of elections. And I would say, over the last couple election cycles, mission accomplished. I mean, if you think that Joe Biden got 81 million votes, man, then the media is still effective. Because it is simply unbelievable. Not believable. So, I wish these people were focusing their energy elsewhere. Could you imagine how much better this world would be if these people put all this effort, all this resource, all this emotional energy into making the country better instead of trying to destroy it? We might have flying cars, you know, for all I know, we'd have flying cars by now if it wasn't for the criminality of the people trying to destroy America.
Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can go to our merchandise store at the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. We got crazy stuff there. Real good quality sweatshirts and t-shirts and baseball tees and stickers, million stickers, coffee mugs, all that stuff with interesting logos and slogans and things like that. It's not just about the show. It's if you want to, you know, you got to get yourself a false flag t-shirt. Wear that around and get questions. I wore my false flag sweatshirt to the gym today and people are at this lady. What is it, false flag? Is that your band name? I was like, kind of. Yeah, I mean, it sort of is. Hey, you can follow me on Twitter at macroaggressions and I will talk to you all soon.
Realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.